Good afternoon, everyone. This is Susan Dene, and you are listening to the Know You're Crazy Talk Show, where we are talking about emotional elevation in the raw. What is emotional elevation in the raw? It is simply the removal of the filters which have held so many of us from truly expressing how we really feel about living this life day to day. Whether it be finances, romances, professional, or even our health, we all have a little bit of crazy to dive in and get to know. As a certified high-performance coach to corporations and individuals, as well as a woman helping women recover from alcoholism and addiction for nearly 20 years, I not only will bring you my insight and experience, but that of experts and everyday individuals like yourself who have figured something out about this emotional elevation. Please join me one episode at a time as we find solutions together for our crazy. Remember, this journey of life is meant to be enjoyed, and you deserve that because you are worth it. On the Know Your Crazy Talk Show, where we are talking about emotional recovery in the raw, because we all have a little crazy. The crazy I'm wanting to talk about today is the crazy around aging. I think if you're getting older, or if you feel you've already arrived at older, you might experience a little bit of crazy around that. And I am really ecstatic to have the guest today, Dr. Rosie Kuhn, with us. Dr. Rosie has written 14 books, and the one that I picked out when we were talking about having her on the show was Aging Like a Guru. It leaped out at me. I've had a couple life experiences over these last few years where this topic I have become passionate about, and not because I want to be passionate about it. It's just kind of happening, if you know what I mean. Dr. Rosie Kuhn is the principal of the Paradigm Shifts Coaching Group, a boutique coaching firm which focuses on personal and spiritual development in oneself, in relationships, and in the workplace. She is considered a preeminent thought leader in the field of transformation. Dr. Rosie is a transformational coach and has been in the field of self-transformation for 40 years. She is the author of 14 books, including Aging Like a Guru, Who Me?, and Self-Empowerment 101. She has been training individuals to become transformational coaches since 2001. Dr. Rosie has a number of podcasts, Spiritual Immersion and Aging Like a Guru. She can also be found on YouTube, Dr. Rosie Kuhn, and her website is theparadigmshifts.com. Well, welcome, Dr. Rosie. It is excellent to have you. How are you?
I'm good. Who is that woman you just talked about? Because I don't know.
An amazing woman. That's what I'm thinking. I was on your website and I was doing some research and I thought, wow, she has accomplished a lot. And you've been doing this thing and in the, like I always like to say, in the trenches for a while. Yeah. So share with me a little bit of the inspiration behind the book, Aging Like a Guru, how it came to you. I mean, I read the book, absolutely loved it.
Thank you.
But please share with the audience the inspiration behind that.
Well, it started out, I have a copy myself. It started out that I live on Orcas Island up in the Pacific Northwest, and they're always looking for somebody to do a speaker thing or a workshop or something. And so they asked me if I would do something on aging and independence. And so I put together a little hour long talk, and people were wanting more. It was like the hour wasn't long enough. And so I said, do you want to come more? And people said, yes. And so we started doing a every other week kind of thing. And it was like, well, what am I going to call it? And so I just called it Aging Like a Guru. So that started it in terms of doing these groups. And then I asked the local paper, I said, do you want me to write some stuff about aging? Because I like to write some, most of the time I like to write. And they said, sure. So I started writing, in a sense, blogs for the local newspaper. And then I took those blogs and put it together into this book. So that's how that all came about. And then I wrote another sort of 26 or so blogs, which is ready to be a book, but is not yet a book, but Aging Like a Guru, Who Me Too. So Who Me Too. So that's how that started. And that group ran for like 3 or 4 years until COVID hit. And then And then I stopped doing that and been doing
that. And here we are after COVID talking about it again, right?
It's great. It's great because, you know, it's the topic that most people want to talk to me about, which is fun because I love talking about it. And as I might have mentioned to you, Susan, on Saturday, April 9th, I'm turning 70.
Oh, happy birthday.
That is the milestone that says aging. You know, you are, there's no question, right? You might have wrinkles, you might have saggies. Stuff you can't deny 70. It's like, you're old. It's like, okay, great.
Well, you know, so there's a couple of things in my life where I have felt there's like topics that no one talks about. And maybe I'm a little naive at times. I just kind of live life. I'm not a big researcher. I'm learning to research, actually. But there are a couple topics. So one of them was after I've got children. I've got three daughters. And I remember one day I'm breastfed my daughters and not for very long because I could never tough it out the whole time. It was like 2 to 3 months. But one day I'm in a split level house and I'm running up the stairs and I don't have a bra on. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, what happened to my breasts? Like, nobody tells you this stuff. Like, what? And then I'd be like, nobody told me that all the elasticity was going to go away and that this was going to happen. Like, why are we not talking about this? Well, I'm pretty sure somebody was probably talking about it. I just wasn't paying attention. And back when I was having my oldest daughter, you know, 22 years ago, I wasn't on the internet, you know, listening to podcasts and YouTubes and That's all right. that. But it's like, why is nobody talking about this? The other thing that I found really interesting with your book, you know, self-confessed recovered alcoholic, I'm 20 years sober. Another thing, people just, unless you're in the community, some people just don't know to talk about that, right?
Yeah.
And the last one is my most recent experience, two categories, and we're talking about both of them today on the show. Okay. Elderly parents. And what happens as they age and you're witnessing their suffering, you're experiencing their loss. We'll talk more about this as we go, but that one came out of nowhere. And I thought, wow, I thought I knew what people were going through when they would express this. Uh-uh. Because I just think people walk through it with either so much humility, and they don't even know that's what's happening. Like, they're just in it.
Yeah.
And so I can see why your topic there on Orcas Island, when you started talking about aging with anybody who's getting older, it's one of those topics. And so, yeah, so the elderly parent. And then the other one that I was talking about, I'm very passionate about right now, is the whole perimenopause, menopause experience that, wow. That's another topic. And so you've got these topics that really impact our lives. Maybe not everybody the same, but really. And so the fact that you're breaking the mold and talking about that, it doesn't surprise me at all that people wanted more of it.
Cool. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And so was there anything in particular with the aging that you found people really inquired more about? Or were they just like sponges taking it all in when you would do your seminars?
Well, it was more like a group coaching session. And there were like 12 people in the group primarily. Mm-hmm. And people would bring stuff in, just bring in topics. But a lot of it had to do with whatever, like you're saying, personal stuff. Like, one day somebody was talking about something and I said, I was facilitating about being responsible to your own life. Mm. And like, you know, cause regardless of how old we are, you know, most of us are adult children. Mm. And we don't want to be responsible for our own lives and our own happiness and our own fulfillment. We want somebody else. And so I mentioned that. I said, you know, we don't want to be responsible. And everybody went like, oh, like the whole room did the same, like, oh, please don't tell me I have to be responsible for my own life. These are people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, literally. And everybody has that same sense of, I don't want to be responsible for my life, even though we make the choices we make every single day. So that was a huge one that I remember specifically.
So perfect timing with you saying that, because one of the things that I wanted to read from your book, and there's a couple things in here I might read today, but one of was in chapter 23, where you're talking about no peace on earth, but you're opening up the chapter and you said, Peace, or you wrote, peace will come when we give up doing unto ourselves and others what is hurtful, harmful, and destructive. I drink coffee and alcohol, use sugar and eat meat and wheat, all of which are destructive to my system. I use electronics, drive a fossil-fueled vehicle, and count on many of those organizations that contribute to the destruction of the planet to keep me safe and provide electricity, et cetera, for my comfort. Like the majority of individuals on the planet, 70% of my thoughts are negative. This also contributes to an internal environment that is not peaceful. It is actually diseased. I've been in relationships with people that cause me constant frustration as my expectations have me distance myself, withdraw, and withhold. I felt victimized and wanted to get back at the individual who broke promises and ignored agreements. Yet I say I want peace. Here's the secret. I've come to realize that the world doesn't need fixing, no peace required. It is perfect and faultless in providing an environment within which we learn and grow through the trials and tribulations. That passage and the realness in which you express how you live is what I love about Know You're Crazy. I mean, that literally is, you know, really talking the truth and the honesty about the everyday hurdles that we all have. And what you're saying right now is so many of us don't want to be responsible for that. You know? We don't want to think about it.
That's right. If they would change.
If they would change,
I would be at peace. But it's like, no, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
And I love your show. I love your message. And, you know, someday I like cross my fingers, because most of my books are like inspired. I don't say, I'm going to write about it. But I really want to write about the insanity of everyday life, because the insanity of the craziness of what's in here, and what I don't want to pay attention to, and what I don't want to be responsible for, is, you know, statistically, I thought it was 70%. And the last time I wrote, I looked at the statistic on how much negativity, it's 80%.
Isn't it interesting, the personal negotiations that we go through with ourselves, constantly weighing the pros and the cons? I mean, ultimately, we're all just looking for to feel better on some level. It doesn't need to be dramatic. I always like to say, if I'm working with somebody or just in general, you know, every decision that we make is to feel better. Every decision we make is because we think we're going to have fun while doing it, or we think we're going to experience some level of satisfaction by making that decision, right?
Yep.
The job we pick, where we choose to live, the shirt that we wear, the, you know, everything that we do, we choose that with the intent to enjoy. And then we realize that we get bored after being at the same job for many years. And then the fear sits in, and well, how do I deal with this? And how do I change? And I don't want to. And it's because they're miserable. It's not because I need to change, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our greatest addiction is to this negativity. I mean, literally, like you mentioned, I worked in recovery for years specifically out in Nova Scotia. And that had me understand or work with people who had substance abuses or Al-Anon at that point there. And ACA was just coming in, Adult Children of Alcoholics was just coming in. And I got that. But as I was working as, and what led me from going from a therapist, I was a family therapist, to transformational coaching, was therapy misses, there's this gap of no spirituality.
Mm.
And the 12-step program was so great in terms of that integration. And so I got my PhD at the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology, which is now Sophia University, where I could study spiritual guidance. And then went into coaching, which is like, how do you want your life to be? What is it you want? And 99% of the time, people are addicted to the patternings. They're just patterns of thinking that we were trained to do and think and be. And those patternings, the more that we become aware of those patterns, as you're saying, then we see the craziness, or we see the absurdity of, I say I want peace or I want happiness, but I keep thinking negativity 80% of my time. That doesn't work. That's crazy, right?
So, and can you catch the crazy? Can you catch the pattern? I was just working with someone yesterday, and what were we talking about? I think, oh, we were talking about exercise, and she's wanting to exercise more than she does during the week. But when the weather, so we're in the Northwest also, I think you and I discussed, we're neighbors. I'm up in Bothell, which is totally cool. But anyway, so I'm talking to her and we're talking about exercise, and she says, you know, well, when it's cold outside or it's rainy, I'll put off walking the dogs. And so the weather is related to whether or not she goes outside, but there was another layer to it. She had been doing like a 2 to 3 minute workout at one point that she quit doing somewhere along the way. Well, she was tying the workout to the dog walking. And then over time, when the weather didn't pull through, everything got negotiated. And so, but her catching the fact that the 3 minute workout was dependent in her mind on the dogs, there's like two completely different things. Because you can still do your 3 minute workout, it's inside the house.
That's right.
She had connected the pattern, right? And so that was that aha moment yesterday for her where she caught it.
Yeah.
And but she had gotten so used to this pattern, and then, you know, at the same time having the discussion that she wants to lose a few pounds, right? And so, you know, you're spot on about that, in my opinion, is, you know, we have a lot of crazy patterns. And how do we know when a pattern is crazy and it's not serving us? Well, how does it feel?
If you're getting closer to your fulfillment, what I call the fulfillment of the human spirit, you're getting closer to that, you're on the right track.
Mm.
If you're not getting that, then you're not on the right track. It's pretty simple that way. And it's so easy. I mean, for me, it's really easy to say, okay, 80% of most people, the statistics, 70 or we'll say 75% of everybody's thinking is negative 75%.
Yeah.
What do you want to do about that?
Yeah.
If you ask anybody that, it's like, well, I don't want to think thoughts 75, you know, negative. It's like, well, okay, so 65, would you be willing to work at thinking negative thoughts 65% of the time? It's like, okay, I could do that. So all you have to do is watch your thoughts.
You have to watch your thoughts. My own mentor gave me an exercise a few days ago around abundance. And she God bless her, made me text her almost on the hour some phrase of abundance, right? Because I was getting into fear around some things.
Yeah.
And it it does take work, but it takes a dedicated effort to turn that knob around, right? Oh, I was going to say, no, but thank you for reminding me to talk about your work with folks in recovery. I mean, that's something I'm definitely passionate about. And I love the fact when you were talking about the 12-step program, you know, those of us in the program, we love it, right? Yeah. We love it. And I'm not going to talk a lot about that just because of all the traditions around it. But I will say thank you. Thank you for your work in that. And thank you for the perspective of that. And I'm so, it warms my heart to know that that brought you, that awareness brought you into the realization that spirituality absolutely plays a part in a full feeling of joy and happiness. And I don't know where I would be without it, without my connection. But it's a game changer, right? It's a game changer for growth. And so just thank you for that. I appreciate that. When I was reading your book, I think when I emailed you, I was like, are you in recovery? Because you're talking the language.
Talking the lingo. Because I've been studying, not only studying it, I read The Course in Miracles and other books. And David Hawkins, who's one of my faves, he went through recovery. And so his the foundation of a lot of what he's saying. So it's all over the place, but we think in terms of that substance abuse element as opposed to you know, debting or gambling or sexing, but the emotional, the addiction to our emotional patternings or physical patternings or our mental patternings, you know, the thinking in the future, the futurizing and worrying and oh my God, those kinds of things, those are addictions. It shifts the chemicals in our system. That's what we're addicted to, is the hormonal shifts that we're trying to balance. And it's like,
the dopamine feed, right?
But also, you know, this is really something, Susan, that made a difference for me. And I think I got it when listening to What the Bleep, or watching What the Bleep is, and being a family therapist, that we have a level of anxiety or a level of functioning, we'll say a level of anxiety that we've lived with in our families. And everybody has a different level. I have 8 brothers and sisters, and we all had different. Mm. And so we go then into our next relationship, and we're, in a sense, wanting to create that, because that's our normal. That's our, yeah. We could go, yeah, no, that was crazy, but that's our normal. So we go into relationship, and we try to make that what it is. And we go into relationship with our work, and we, because we haven't cultivated awareness to what is that pattern that I'm still doing at almost,
yeah.
I'm watching these patterns that, but like you're saying, we have to train ourselves, and it's a discipline. And especially if we're all in recovery as far as I'm concerned, but if you really want that life of fulfillment or serenity, we have to say, what am I not willing to accept? What am I so attached to that I'm not willing to really say peace or serenity is what I'm,
yeah. Have?
And it's like that question, what am I so attached to that I'm not willing, more willing to be attached to that than actually move into peace and serenity? And that's what got me sober on 15 different levels, if you
yeah.
will.
In
relationships, yeah. or eating, or whatever those patterns, worrying, mm-hmm. guilting, shaming, judging, righteousness, all of those. Well, addictions, if you will.
Yeah. And don't you find that when you were talking about the family relationships that we grow up with and how we can find ourselves repeating those patterns, I remember when I was sober yet? So I got sober in 2001, but I was in a therapist office. I can't remember if I had gotten sober yet or if we were, the ball was rolling, right? Yeah. I'm in therapy. Things aren't working out. I mean, that's usually the deal. And I remember the therapist told me I had married my mother, like in the husband I had. And I was like, oh, you know, it was like this download of, oh my God, what are you talking about? I married my mother, right? It was horrible at the time.
Oh my God.
At the time, it was 26 years old and hadn't healed the past yet, hadn't had no perspective on aging, like nothing, right? Nothing. So to hear that was like shocking, but it had to come from somebody else. I would have never seen it. And so that's where I'm going with this. And so in the world of recovery, one of the blessings that we have is we have mentors, or in the rooms, we call them sponsors. And you and I, and what we do in the professional realm now, are coaches. And the reason why it can be so important is because I can't see my own crazy because I'm entrenched in it.
That's right.
I'm entrenched in it most of the time. So I will get feeling indicators where it could be a feeling of depression, it might be anger, it might be whatever, but we become in recovery so accustomed to picking up the phone. This is why I had homework the other day.
Yes.
I called and said, hey, this is what's going on. Because, you know, I was having a hard time. I knew I didn't feel good about what was going on, but I needed an outside perspective of somebody who wasn't carrying my life to come in and be like, yeah, this is what I'm hearing. And sometimes it won't resonate right away. Like, right. Are you sure that's what you're hearing? Because I don't know if my ego is going to let me really agree with that right now. Like, I'm thinking you're wrong. It's real. But, you know, the homework comes in. And then what happens is what you're talking about also is the willingness. Do I want to stay miserable or do I want to do something about it?
Yeah.
And that is, you know, when we talk about recovery from anything, you know, or even the words rock bottom, ultimately we've hit a place of sheer misery that we're finally to the point of surrender.
That's right.
Where it's like, give me some feedback because I'm desperate at this point. And the goal for me, and I don't know about you, Dr. Rosie, but the goal for me is let's not hit rock bottom no more. Let's identify that crazy early on. And that's one of my passions is teaching people, what are the signs going on? Let's identify this crazy before you end up, I got to say it, before you slap somebody on the Oscars or you blow up at the grocery store or you have road rage, you know, tearing somebody down.
That's right.
Because it's gone unrecognized for so long. Yeah.
And, you know, it's a matter, like for me, I was talking to a client today and she's like, she's training to be a coach. And she's like, but I'll never be like you because I have, you have those master's degrees and the PhD and you have, and it's like, it has nothing to do with any of that. It's my immersion, the spiritual immersion process and being in the trenches with my own life and wanting it to be different in a sense, this is not okay. This is not okay. I have a relationship with my daughter. One of the questions that you had was, you know, what's something that was huge in your life?
Yeah.
When I divorced and I was 26 years old. Mm. It made sense to me, for the best interest of my kids, for them to stay with their dad while I went and got my education and got a job. And then my intention was they would come live with me.
Mm.
So I gave custody to my husband because of circumstances and who he was and how it went. They never came to live with me. And so she's 46 and we have a relationship.
Mm.
We have a relationship. And I want it to be mother-daughter, you know, oh, aren't we great together? And haven't we come to this? And she's great. And she's clear sometimes and wonderful sometimes, just like me. Sometimes I'm clear. But it's the relationships that make me want to go, okay, this isn't working. And so I would go rant, rant, rant. In a sense, I would be adversarial with her, but I didn't see it that way. I was just like, I was wanting her to see that she was needing to change, right? But in that, I go, wait, stop. What's my part in this?
Hmm.
What is my part in this? What is my part in this? And it's like, I keep coming up with stuff that's my part in it. Like how I have been in my life, how I've been this way, this way, this way, this way. And these are patterns that I maybe came in with from past lives or learned when I was in my family, whatever those are, because my daughter and I have this relationship. And sometimes it's like this, but that is where I really want to grow my capacity to be a mom, and a mom, not just in terms of a daughter role, but who am I in this? And that's where I have to really attend to, because it's important to, enough to me to make the changes within myself rather than going, if only she would, right? If only she would, and fill in the blanks, because we could fill in the blanks. But
yeah,
I stop that and I go, stop, because that's not working. That's not giving me peace. I'm in a state of powerlessness because I can't change that, but I can change, like in the Serenity Prayer, I can be courageous enough to change the things I can, but I have to be willing to see what that is. Where am I being adversarial versus an advocate for her shift and her differences and her you know, respecting her for all that kind of stuff. So
you're
important enough. When you have something important enough for you, then you're willing to put in the time and you're willing to put in the energy, because this is exhausting.
Exhausting.
And crazy making.
And, you know, crazy making in relationships, right? And so I am excited to continue this conversation with you. What we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I think we're talking about a little bit of that uninvited intrusion. And that's where I'm going to take the conversation as we go into our next segment when we return. In the meantime, you're talking to Dr. Rosie, or listening to Dr. Rosie Kuhn and Susan Dene. And please join us here in just a moment. We will be back. Thank you.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martineemmons.com and make your appointment today.
Feeling stuck? Journey into a new exciting reality today. Join Coach Christine Clark as she helps you forge the life you desire. Through processes that shape, hone, refine, elasticize, and transform you, go beyond the curve and call in your unique destiny. Tune into the show, Forging a Life, live every fourth Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Christine, visit SunglowTransformation.com.
Hi, folks. This is Susan Dene. If you are joining us, then you are listening to a conversation between myself and Dr. Rosie Kuhn. We are just talking about aging like a guru, some of the things that come up around that. Prior to break, Dr. Rosie was sharing just the transformation that she got to have in a relationship with her daughter, the importance of realizing what her part is, which is the part that we can control, what is our part in the relationship, and trying not to stare at the part of the other person, and just the spiritual awareness and awakenings that can come from that and actually enrich the relationship, not only with our children, but with partners and all of the above. Ultimately, Dr. Rosie, like you, I've had a lot of work in that area. I will say that helping women in recovery taught me how to be a parent. It taught me how not to take things personally. It taught me how not to try to maneuver their journey. It's their journey to have, it's not mine. And I understand that as a parent, that might get a little confusing for folks, but the more I encourage my kids, I compliment my children, and I accept them 100% for who they are and what they do, the more beautiful that relationship is. It only gets static when I decide I have a better plan for them, right? And I decide it needs to be my way. And I understand and I can appreciate there's bumpers all over that thing, right? I mean, there's parenting that takes place. I'm not a buddy all the time. I'm a parent. But at the same respect, I really believe in encouraging and complimenting and lifting my girls up and not criticizing them or shaming them for some type of behavior. And I would never do that with any women that I've served in recovery. Yeah. And I sure as hell ain't gonna do it with my kids. And if I do slip and fall, I'm just real quick to recognize it and come back and make an amends, right? Yeah. And so that's the beauty of you know, it can also be painful, but it is the beauty of being able to find your part in relationships and not looking for the other person to have to change or show up a different way in order for you to be peaceful. And so I heard you when you were sharing that story. I got it, you know. So the other thing I was going to talk about was in the book, you talk about the uninvited intrusion. And I believe this might have been what you were starting to go into, maybe when you were talking about your divorce and how this kind of unexpectedly, they didn't come back, right? And so the unexpected intrusion, I'm going to see what chapter I had highlighted here, because this was, if you knew the year or two that I've had.
Chapter 12.
Yep. 73-year-old Sam, who's a retired fellow, living in a two-bedroom apartment in Houston with his girlfriend. And he has a son, James, in his 40s, who lives in Denver. He's got four children, a wife he adores, and a business that in the moment is supporting the family. And he's been sober for 20 years. It was like you were telling my story when I read this. And so what happens is Sam's girlfriend calls James and says he needs to come live with you. He's having memory problems. And James, who's in his 40s and feeling like life's cruising along, has this unexpected intrusion of what he views as an intrusion on his life. And suddenly he is thrown into the depths of an elderly parent with memory issues and all that entails. And the reason this hit home for me, because I lost my dad in December of 20 of COVID, and my mom and him were married 57 years. And then we watched my mom, who was starting to have some memory stuff, try to make it on her own for a year. And then we got the call. You know, I don't live locally, and neither does my sister. So we got the call. She can't be there no more. You got to move her into assisted living. And so anyway, so when you're talking about James and you're saying, or you're writing about James' experience, the financial fiascos of a person with no will and no plans for his phase of his life, referring to dad, they are dealing with the VA, elderly daycare centers, and long-term care facilities. Yesterday, they got the diagnosis that it was most likely Alzheimer's. None of this was part of their reality until they got the call 3 months ago. Gosh, that I related to that because my sister and I would talk and I'd be like, I didn't see any of it coming. I didn't see dad getting COVID coming. I didn't see mom, you know, all of this stuff. Sam wants to go home. My mom always wants to go home. Back to his apartment, to his routines in Houston. He is angry, isolated, lonely, confused, and trapped in his son's world, the uninvited intrusion. And so I really wanted to talk about that because, you know, as we're talking about aging like a guru, one of the things that was that became my reality very quickly, and I'm 47, was the question of mortality. And, you know, conceptually, you know, I could tell myself, like I was talking about earlier, you know, I thought I knew, you know, I thought, you know, I read spiritual books. In fact, ironically, when my dad became sick with COVID, I was reading a book titled Death. And it was about a India guru. I can't remember his name right now, but he was talking about just their beliefs in that culture and how people transition. And I was reading that book literally when I had to go back home to care for my dad. And it was surreal. But then suddenly mortality becomes a thing as we age and the people around us age. And then we start witnessing people transition or die. Some people say die, I say transition, but we start watching people transition. And in the reality, like we're going to go someday.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you could share with me just some of your insight around that. I would be eager to hear.
Well, that's a big question. Yeah. I mean, it's like a 2x4 getting hit upside the head, right?
Yeah.
You didn't see it coming. The thing about life is, from my perspective, is we are spiritual beings here in this human thing. Having a human experience, and we're here to learn, we're here to grow, we're here to explore, we're here to be curious, we're here to be in the adventure of what's that like. And if we're too complacent, in essence, then we get this 2x4 upside the head. I talk about this in the Self-Empowerment 101, and in a sense that it's like it's a wake-up call to go, you got something to learn here. You came here to learn. You came here to have an experience of growth, and this is the time. And if you're not going to pay attention, it's going to get more serious. This is what happens with people who are, you know, who hit bottom again and again and again, and or emotional. Oh, just going into ignorance is like, I'm just going to hang out in Netflix or gaming or FaceTime. I'm just going to ignore it until it gets too big, like you're talking about. When it gets
I went through, you know, and this will probably take us into the next topic, but when this was happening, my body was starting to break down because of menopause, perimenopause. Now, what happened for me was I was staring at death in front of me because my dad was sick and he didn't make it. And I'm watching my mother who's frail, and my own body for the first time in my entire life is feeling not like I know it. And that worried me because then I started having fear yes. around suffering.
Yeah.
Right. And so have you faced moments like that where you've had fear of suffering or fear of loss or just a reality of, you know, I don't know when this is coming or.
So being 70, it's like, oh yeah, that, you know, been there, done that many times. And yeah. that, you know, quite often is being a spiritual being, having a human experience to grow and learn. I know that I've had past lives where their trauma that had happened that I'm still carrying and need to work out and deal with. And so I look at it not only in terms of, oh, this is interesting. My parents are dying. And so I'm learning and seeing how death and transition happen. It's like the traumas of loss, the traumas of the fear and the panic of what will happen to me, our fear of decrepitude, you know, the decline in decrepitude, that's our biggest fear. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to somebody who was somewhat psychic. And as I was talking about turning 70 and this sort of idea that now I'm getting old, she said, when you said that, I saw the whole matrix come in, like the whole, you know, now I got to start going to doctors 3-4 times a week. Now I got to start taking medication. Now I got to, and all of that stuff that we think is part of aging, it's not. It's part of our mentality and our thinking of it. That's the negative 80% negative.
Oh, I'm like, so glad you say that. Okay. So tell me what it is. So we got to watch our time because I know we're going to go to a break here very shortly, but here's the question. How do you change that mentality around aging? And like, what's maybe, I'm assuming there's baby steps to it. Do you remember when that very first started happening and maybe one of the first tools you did to help with that fear?
When I was 50-ish, that's when I started to see the creepy. And I went, I appreciated my body more than ever.
Nice.
Like now this body, now I have more investment in this body being healthy and supporting me for however long I'm on the planet. So first of all, appreciating my body. And it's scary when you see this stuff just, you know, it's like, wow. And I knew.
I'm going to totally cut you off because you're setting us up for the last segment of the show, which we're going to talk about Botox, boobs, bangs, and humility. Because as you're a kid, you're just like, I'm watching this happening and what we go through. And obviously that's as women, I know men go through their own flavor of it also. But we are going to go to a quick break.
Okay. And do we have 2 minutes yet before the break or are you going to go now?
I was just going to do a little wrap up and then go, but go ahead. You got something?
Yeah. I was just going to say, one of the things that's really important is to look at, is it the blue zones in the world? There's a book and there's research about blue zones where people live a very long time and they stay into hundreds. And so if we look at that, we see this is about a belief system that makes us old. When people are in their 40s, or 30s, and they go, oh, my memory is going, it must be because I'm getting old. It's not that.
Yeah.
Anytime that I go, oh, no, that.
Yeah.
Like, it's the not beliefs. That. It's not yeah. that. It's
That's
not
an
that.
Excellent point to make. Okay, so we're going to go to break. So if you're joining us, Susan Denae talking to Dr. Rosie. We're talking about aging like a guru. If you want to get in touch with myself, you can go to susandenae.com. Dr. Rosie, I think your website is paradigmshifts.com. Is that right?
The Paradigm Shifts.
Thank you. .com. All right. We'll be back. Thank you.
I'm Patricia McNair, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia, and I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
Have you known that you're on a soul path, but often wondered why you don't have the insight of how to go from here to there, or whether or not what you're doing is going to take you to where you want to go in your soul's journey? Damayante is the show for your soul. Damayante speaks to your soul, connects with your soul and shines a light for your soul. Damayanti, the show for your soul with Sarah Main, brings you insights and a pathway to your soul's journey on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Know your own divine magic and extend peace and love to all with Reiki Master and author Brett Bevel. Brett offers empowering solutions with energy healing modalities, magical awakening, and psychic Reiki. Brett's latest book, Healing Racism Within, A Lightworker's Guide, draws on his own journey of growing up in a racist community and healing childhood trauma. For more on the most cutting-edge energy healing techniques, visit brettbevel.com.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Know You're Crazy,
crazy.
With me, Susan Danae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDanae.com. That's DENEE.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Susan Danae, and you are joining the Know You're Crazy talk show, where I am here with Dr. Rosie Kuhn, author of 14 books. The one we're talking about today is Aging Like a Guru. You know, as life happens and situations happen, all of us have our own coming to terms with getting older, if we are fortunate enough to do that. And sometimes there's a little bit of crazy that goes along with that. So Dr. Rosie and I have been talking about all kinds of things. Working on ourselves versus working on others, the acceptance around aging. And that's kind of, you know, I was asking Dr. Rosie before we went to break, you know, when was a time that she remembers, like when this really first started happening as far as needing to really look at the mindset around aging? And what she was pointing out was, you know, there's communities, I think there's one in California, I think there's another in Japan where people live, centurions live to be over 100 years old. And she was pointing out that this is a mindset, it's a belief that these communities believe that they can live a long time. I told her she set it up perfectly for the last segment of the show, because one of the first things she shared with us is to learn to appreciate the body. And this made me kind of joke a little bit, because as I was doing this outline for the show today, what I put down that we would talk about, you know, is my journey with Botox, boobs, bangs, and humility, which only started as a result of getting older and having life happen on life's terms. And so I wanted to talk about that and also talk about the intimate relationship that we have with our bodies, is which, Dr. Rosie, you were starting to, I know you're going to break this wide open after I turn it over to you, about the appreciation for the body. And I appreciate that being said, because I believe the communication between me and the body is a developing relationship at this age with these life experiences, to be able to walk authentically with the body and hopefully not have to depend on the outside appearance of things, whether that's Botox or plastic surgery or bangs, or, you know, how do we spiritual beings, as you've talked about, walk in humility and be fully accepting of our body and who we are, and not do the game of comparison with others, right? So, yeah. So please elaborate. You started out with the appreciation and kissing the body and, you know, noticing things. I thought that was fantastic.
The funny thing is we're comparing our, so first of all, my journey and my path, your journey, your path, you're walking your line, you're walking your path. And as Joseph Campbell says, and this is something I really love him saying, is if there's a path in front of you, it's not yours.
Mm.
Your path is the one that unfolds step by step. So if you're looking and saying, oh, there's a path, and oh, there's Marie, and oh, there she is, and she's, oh my God, look at how she's aging. That's her path. That's her way. Okay. And so that comparison thing, from a spiritual perspective, it has no point, even in terms of, oh, they must be more spiritual because look at how beautiful she is. It's like, yeah, no, that's not the point. The point is you're on your path. you're here to get through your crazies. You're here to get serenity, if you will, or acceptance of this is as good as it gets. It's one of the lines I use a lot with my clients is, what if this is as good as it gets? That wakes them up because they go, wait, no, I don't have to play this game. I don't have to do this narrative. I don't have to do all of this. I can change that. When you say, what if this is as good as it gets? What if you have to do Botox? And what if you have to look like Cher for the next 30, 40, 50 years? Like, okay, that's a choice. And if that brings you a sense of fulfillment and connection and a better sense of self, then by all means, do that.
Yeah.
But if it's because I'm afraid it's all going to fall down, well, it's going to fall down because that's what it's going to do. And no matter, and at some point you're going to look like that and you're going to go, yeah, don't I look pretty? And it's like, yeah, no, maybe if you feel that way, you know, I'm all about you having fulfillment. And if that makes you feel great about you, I'll support you in that. Truly.
Dr. Rosie, I hear you and I agree, right? Like I agree because I believe all of us have our own individual relationship that we have with aging and what makes us feel good. And then recently, just very recently, I was like, you know, you talk about having faith and it was for me talking to myself. How daring are you? Are you daring to not go get those Botox shots today? How much of a game are you going to play? Right? Like, you know, like for my own confidence level, like, can you walk in humility? Can you, this is my real hair color. It's white as hell. 5 years ago, it was brown. Don't know. And I'm not saying I keep tempting to color it for the first time ever. And then I'm thinking, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to authentically just, you know, go and just say, let's see what happens and learn to walk confidently with who I am in this skin every single day and be okay with that. Or am I going to have to, you know, go do my thing and for the feeling of fulfillment, right? But I think you're spot on about, for me, really getting to the bottom of why.
So the question then is, what are you afraid of? If you don't get your, what's the fear? In a sense, we're always looking at what's the source of that desire to get the Botox or the bangs or the whatever's. What's the source of that? And 99% of the time, it's fear. Fear of what?
It's fear of what you're going to think of me with me getting older, right? Like, I want to look good. You know what I mean? Like, I don't remember ever going and getting a Botox shot and saying, you know, I'm here because I'm spiritual. Now, you see this right here? Like, no, I'm here to make myself look better so that I have a better self-esteem if I think I look better, right? Like that's the conversation,
and
right?
It has to be all about you because I can look at you and go, oh, she's got Botox, or, oh, she must've just got that done. And so I can, you know, cause we all do that. We see people who have had work done and we go, oh, she had work done. Oh, she had work done. And we go, oh my God. First of all, I don't want to be a person that people say, oh, she had work done. Cause I don't, you know,
Now they can say, oh, she needs to have work done.
She needs to color her hair or she needs to do a, you know, or she needs to wear a bra, right? At some point people stop, you just stop wearing a bra, which is kind of funny. Cause it was like something you had to do, right? It was So it's really about what am I afraid of? And because my whole relationship with my body self, but also my spiritual self is living fearlessly, if you will, and living in the fulfillment of my human spirit, then I say, okay, does Botox enter into that? And it's not a yes for me. So it's like, okay, then I gotta face my fear. Just face my fear and face my, and what's the fear? Not only probably of what will people think, but also you see the wrinkles and you go, it ain't going to turn around. You know, the acceptance ain't going to turn around. Every day there's more wrinkles and every day it's just like, oh my God, how many more wrinkles can there be? Like there's not much more. And the humor in it, as opposed to the disgrace of it.
Yeah.
because we're all doing it. Yeah. 8 billion people are doing it. We're all aging, and we all, and a lot of us feel the disgrace of that. But what, you know, again, the question is, what's that about?
I know, Dr. Rosie, it is such a fantastic topic. We're about ready to close the show. So there's something I really wanted to say, that your book, one of the best, I mean, it was like this moment when I read it and I thought, oh, I hope she's done some kind of post on that, because it was such a powerful phrase. And I absolutely, I mean, it's in chapter 4, and you talk about rites of passage. And this is what I'm going to probably be closing the show up with. But you talk about rites of passage, and you write a very powerful line. And that powerful line is, people want transformation, but they don't want change. We all want to transform, and yet we really fight the willingness to change, but we don't want to change. And that really is, you know, that is the thing. And so we've only got 1 minute left. So before I'm going to give you one question, you're going to have a very short amount of time to answer it. I'm so sorry. It's been such a great conversation today. And so if you want to reach out to me, it's at susandanae.com, and Dr. Rosie is at theparadigmshifts.com. And I'm sure you can find us on social media. Okay, here's the question. What is the one thing, and you probably only got like 30 seconds to answer this, that you are the proudest of for you personally?
I want to say two things. One is that you can find the blog, We Want Transformation, We Just Don't Want to Change. It's on the website.
Oh, nice.
The whole blog. I wrote that down because I wanted to answer it. What I'm most proud of is that I cultivated enough courage and strength to truly listen to my own knowing, regardless of what other people think, what other people say, what other people, how people treated me. I listened to my own truth. And that takes courage until it doesn't, just like anything that we get sober from that fear. But the more courage and strength, the strength to build that muscle, the strength to be dedicated to something strong enough to follow through no matter what, that's what I'm most proud of.
Oh, well, thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been a pleasure. Our hour flew by. I knew it would. And thanks to all of you for joining us today. Feel free to reach out. We'd be more than happy to talk to you. Have a blessed day.
You have been listening to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy. Crazy.
And my name is Susan Denae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurt Your Life, please visit SusanDenae.com. That's SusanDenae, DENEE.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.